And if you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would be here now in a real way, that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, that you would encourage us, and that you would challenge us. Lord, help us always become and be more like Jesus. We pray this today and every day. Amen. The story is told of a frontier settlement in the West whose people were engaged in the lumbering business, and the town wanted a church, so they built one, and they called the minister to this brand new fledgling church out in the frontier West. The preacher was well received until one day he happened to see some of his parishioners clawing onto the bank some logs that had been floating down the river from another village upstream. Each log was marked with the owner's stamp on one end. To his great distress, the pastor saw his members pulling in the logs and sawing off the end where the telltale stamp appeared. The next Sunday, he prepared a forceful sermon on the text, "Thou shall not steal." At the close of service, his people lined up and congratulated him. Wonderful message, mighty fine preaching. I knew we found the right pastor. However, as the preacher watched the river that next week, he saw his parishioners continuing to steal logs. This bothered him a great deal, so he went home and worked on a sermon for the following week. The topic was, "Thou shalt not cut off the end of thy neighbor's logs." When he got through with the sermon that week, the church membership ran him out of town. And so it is with great trepidation this morning that I too enter into the topic of "Thou shalt not cut off thy end of thy neighbor's logs." It's funny the difference between the force of "thou shalt not steal" in general and "you must stop stealing" in this very specific way. Because, of course, we don't struggle with stealing. We're not thieves, robbers, burglars. Those people, they should stop stealing. They should stop what they're doing. Those people like those frontier people with the logs, they need to stop, but this is clearly not going to be for us. Unless it is. You see, maybe part of the problem here is that it's hard to always recognize the ways in which we are stealing. It's always easy to when someone else is stealing. They are taking advantage. They are exploiting. They are cheating. They are being unfair. They are misusing, hoarding, wasting, grasping. But when we do it, we're being prudent, sensible, frugal, wise. We're investing. We're just taking what's our due. We're just trying to keep up. What do you mean that these logs just floating down to the river belong to someone else? I didn't even know. Oh, that's a stamp. I just thought that was a weird growth mark on the bottom of the thing. Well, I mean, they have so much anyway. I didn't think they'd mind or even notice. But I need it. And suddenly we find ourselves fishing logs out of our eyes or out of the river, however you might want to say it. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Before we get into all this, let me make sure we all know where we are and where we're going. Today we are continuing our series looking at God's grace and God's freedom through the Ten Commandments. And as we've been talking about, these Ten Commandments aren't this etched in stone thing that it is in our mind. They were etched in stone, but we don't have that copy because Moses broke it. So we don't actually know that there are 10 commandments. There may be 11 or even 13. And it's not entirely clear how you would number your 10, since different Christians number their 10 differently. It's not entirely clear we're supposed to understand them as commandments. In those passages, they're actually called the 10 words. And most importantly, it's sort of unclear how we are supposed to use these laws from a couple thousand years ago today. Maybe most surprising and important of all, as we've been talking about, and as Gerald Sitzer wrote, the Ten Commandments are not the opposite of grace. Instead, they spell out the implications of grace. I think for most of us, when we think about the Ten Commandments, these are ten rules. These are the opposite of grace. This tells us only what we are doing wrong, and then we need grace to save us out of it. Instead, what if these Ten Commandments were, because of grace, this is a different and better way to live, a more free way to live? In other words, what if God is trying to help us become a people? And he's using these 10 words to form us into his people, a treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And part of the how, part of God's strategy, is by giving us this alternate way to live, a way to live with more grace and more freedom and more peace. And he does it through these 10 words. And so if you would, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Exodus 20, 15, as we come today to the eighth commandment. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you, this is the second half of the Ten Commandments. The first half are all the four commandments made about our relationship with God. No other gods before me. No idols. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Honor the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. The last six commandments, which is where we are all about our relationship with each other. Commandments like don't murder, don't lie, don't covet. Today's commandment, number eight, it's just four words long. You shall not steal. Amen. Seems simple enough. Don't take stuff that's not yours. It's a good lesson for all the 4 and 7 and 12-year-olds in the room. If it's not yours, don't take it. Problem solved. At first glance, at least. I think that most of us, at first glance, do pretty well with this one, at least on the surface. That being said, if you've been with us at all throughout this series, you now know that these commandments are more extensive, more expressive, more expansive than we'd normally suspect at first. And so as we start to get into this, it may be worth asking ourselves some questions. What are the things that I take from others? That I take from others? What are the times that I get more than I should get? More than I earn? More than others get? How do I misuse my stuff? And maybe in so doing, steal from my future self or others or God? And while we're asking questions like that, it may even be worth delving into how we relate to what's ours in the first place. What's our relationship with our stuff? How do we view our things? And how should we? And there's probably more here, but before we get there, let's read one more passage. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 32. I'll give you a moment to find it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Because Paul has some things to say about stealing as well, and maybe how we should live differently. Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. There is a lot going on in our passage, but I'm particularly struck with verse 28. I'll read it again. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. If you've been stealing, stop it, and instead work. Do something useful that you may share with those in need. This is describing and even commanding a pretty radical transformation on really a few levels. First, obviously, the thief is transformed from a taker into a worker. But maybe more interestingly, the goal seems to change as well, from getting more for me to sharing more with you. In other words, the reason that someone steals is to get what isn't theirs so that they will have more. But Paul seems to turn this goal radically on its head. No. The goal is that I have more so that I can share it with you, so that I can share it with those in need. It's not so that I can get more. The reason I need more is so that I can give what I have. And of course, if that's our aim, if that's what we're striving for, then it doesn't make much sense to steal in the first place. More to the point and more in line with our series, this then transforms us into a different kind of people. A people who work for a different reason. A people who pursue different goals. A people who view their stuff differently. Which, of course, then has connotations for how we live and how we save and how we steward all that we have. In other words, maybe thou shalt not steal is pointing us towards more than just thou shalt not. It might also be pointing us towards something better. And so briefly, in the time we have left, I want to dig into this a little bit more. And as we do, I want to talk about this commandment in two ways. Again, what is this commandment prohibiting? And then what is this commandment requiring? In other words, thou shall not steal, and then thou shall what? But we'll start with the thou shall not. As we start out with this commandment, we recognize quickly what it's pointing against. I find it interesting that there are some different ways that we break this commandment. There are different types of stealing, if you will. I mean, there's the most obvious, literal way of understanding this, taking what is not ours, often by force or grift or trickery. And often, if we even need to justify it to ourselves, we tell ourselves that we've already paid for it, we've already worked for it. It's for the taking. It's not that much anyway. No one's ever going to even notice this. And they won't really miss it anyway. You see, we have an amazing capacity to justify what we want. Sometimes we steal big things, sometimes we steal very small things. But often, we have this amazing ability to rationalize it to ourselves. But the reason we do it is to get more, to do something quicker or simpler or easier. It's interesting. In many ways, the sin of stealing is the sin of the shortcut. Taking what you haven't really earned, what you don't fully deserve, what you've convinced yourself you need. without doing all the work necessary to get it the right way, let alone for the right reason. This is kind of the most obvious way that this commandment should be taken, and it's the most obvious way we steal. We take what we shouldn't, what is not ours. But the commandment's talking about more than that, I think. Maybe another way that we steal is by wasting. Because here's the thing, it strikes me that if I have something and I misuse it, if I use it without intent or purpose or even enjoyment, if I use it in an unsustainable way, whereby it's not usable anymore, then in a way I'm actually stealing. I'm stealing from maybe a future version of myself or from someone else who could find use in this. Because the reality is that if I use something once and throw it away or treat it badly and break it, then I'm stealing from anyone who could also use it. But then maybe this commandment is talking about even more than that. Maybe not just taking and maybe not just wasting. Maybe even hoarding is a means of stealing. And to be clear, hoarding is not about saving, it's about storing. It's not seeking something, it's accumulating as much as I can. When the goal changes from having enough to having as much, then it's becoming a problem. It's becoming hoarding. In many ways, this is stealing from everyone, including yourself. Since the goal isn't having or using or enjoying, it's simply collecting. It's simply keeping it away from everyone. This is another way I think we steal. There's maybe one more that's worth talking about as well as we look into this commandment a little bit deeper. Because sometimes the problem isn't that we are intentionally stealing, but that we are using systems that are unjust, that there are some cheats built into the system that we are taking advantage of. It's like if you remember those old Looney Tunes cartoons where Bugs Bunny was dividing something up, something good, like carrots, between him and Yosemite Sam. And he would kind of do the one for you and one for me. And then he'd give two to you, which would be Sam's second, and two for me, one, two. And then three for Sam, and three, two, three for me. And then four for Sam, and one, two, three, four for me. Such that at the end, Yosemite Sam ends up with four, Bugs Bunny ends up with 10, and that's normally when the guns come out and the shooting and all the rest, as any Looney Tune cartoon should end. But of course, in some ways, it's not Bugs Bunny who's stealing, it's the system he's using that's cheating. It's that his accounting system is a little off. I wonder if there are ways and times when we steal, not by what we do, but because there's some cheats in the system. I wonder if sometimes we are benefiting not from our own hard work, but simply by being dealt a better hand from below the deck or something. And if that's the case, I wonder what it would look like to follow this commandment. Thou shalt not steal. This is all to say that I think there are a lot of different ways that we can understand this commandment when it tells us not to steal. How do we steal stuff? How do we steal time? How do we steal other things? But let's also remember that this commandment isn't just pointing us against something, it's also inviting us into something. Pointing us toward a right and proper use of our stuff. In many ways, I think this passage is reminding us to be good stewards, reminding us to share, reminding us to be intentional, even careful with our stuff. And in so doing, maybe we can find more freedom. Because the reality is that the alternative to stealing is not simply don't take, but it's also to use what we do have well. We are to share and to bless with what God has shared and blessed us with. We are to become better stewards of what we do have. Going back to our passage, I find it challenging and insightful that Paul instructs those in the church who are stealing to stop, which is obvious enough, but then he points them toward what they should do, what we should do, toward work, toward doing something useful so that we will have something to share with those in need. What if we saw that as the end of our work, the reason for our work? We work so that we will have something to share, something to give, something to bless with. I wonder how that would change our experience of work. It'll still be work. There's still meetings and emails and all that stuff, but if the purpose of work is so that we have enough to share, I wonder if that changes our experience. I'll confess that this is not always how I see work. And more importantly, it's not always how I see what I earn, what I work for. Even more confessionally, too often I think I see my earnings as mine. Sure, God gets his 10%, but after that, the rest is mine. It's like a deal we've worked out. It's like a tax, which ironically completely misses the point of stewardship. Because it turns the tithe into a mere tax. This part is mine. This part is yours. God, you can do whatever you want with this 10%. And this 90%, this is mine. And I can do anything I want with that. And you don't get a vote anymore because I've already given you your part. Which, again, totally misses the point of stewardship. Because technically, the other 90% is God's too. We are but stewards. It's all his. Everything we have is God's. To try and put this in a different way, what if God has some ideas about how we are to use not just that 10%, but the 90% as well? What if God has some votes there? What if God got a vote in how you shopped, what you bought? What if God got a vote in your recreational choices? What if God got a vote in how you saved, how you invest, how you spend? What if God got a vote on what you did with the rest of your money? I wonder if there would ever be times where God's vote is different than yours. And I wonder if these are the real questions of stewardship. Not what is the percentage that I'm supposed to give to God, almost to get him off my back. But God, all of this is yours, and I'm going to give this portion here, and the rest, what should we do with it? How can I steward your resources well? That's not to say you can't buy nice things, not to say you can't go on a nice vacation. It's merely to bring up the question, how often do we bring God into our money conversations and decisions? And as we do, or as we don't, are we doing that on purpose? Are we stealing from God? Which maybe is why this commandment is pointing us not just away from stealing, but towards something, towards stewardship, towards sharing. Maybe it's more that we recognize this commandment is inviting us into a different kind of life. Maybe thou shalt not steal is inviting us into a life of contentment. I don't need what you have because God has blessed me with this. Maybe thou shalt not steal is inviting us into a life of generosity. Thou shalt not steal because what I have is for others. Maybe thou shalt not steal is inviting us into a life of diligence and intention. I work so that I can bless, so that I can share. Maybe really, thou shalt not steal is inviting us into a life of gratitude. God, I praise you for what you have given me and what you have allowed me to use. I wonder if God is trying to set us free from our endless, perpetual pursuit of more. I wonder if God is trying to set us free from our greed. I wonder if God is trying to set us free for Him. And He says all this by simply saying, "Thou shalt not steal." If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you again today for the blessings that you have showered upon us. Lord, as much as there are days that we are trying to make ends meet, and as much as there are days that we are worried about this or that or the future, and as much as we try and control and our security and our status by money, we really do recognize that you have blessed us abundantly, that you have given us much more than we deserve. And we recognize that you might also want to be involved in even decisions about money, about what we spend, about what we save, about where our money goes. Lord, we ask that you would change our view, that we might see work differently, that we might see our resources differently, that we might become a people of gratitude and stewardship, a people who are willing to be generous and share. But Lord, you know that there's a deep work that needs to be done in our hearts for that to happen. And so we simply invite you in and ask you to change us. Make us more like your Son, Jesus the Christ. It's in His name we pray all these things. Amen.